Okay. Welcome and hi to everybody. I'm doing a talk on running your own fucking infrastructure. This talk has been given, well, not given, but the base of this talk came up in a very short, spontaneous talk on TourCamp in the camp in America. So yeah, I'm McFly. I have given several talks, some you might have seen me also. I am most likely known to be the guy that gives away those challenge coins and promises free beer at Milliways for it. Yeah. I'm from the University of Darmstadt. I'm loosely associated to the CCC, especially Hamburg, but too, like Hanover and Darmstadt. I gave several talks, have seen lots of hackerspaces and basically run Milliways. So, yeah. Why should I run my own fucking infrastructure? First of all, for some motivation before that, lately, like I've been around for a while, but lately it has occurred to me that a lot of people around in the hacker scene use publicly available services. Like I've seen a lot of Gmail addresses on mailing lists lately, and more hacker spaces use Gmail and other cloud and other services to basically do this their stuff. First of all, if you decide to use a public service like a cloud service, which would be kind of the opposite side of running your own infrastructure, there is a lot of things you need to know and they usually tell you and you usually do not read it. It's called the Terms of Services. So a lot of things in here has to be seen in part of the Terms of Services. You might already know what all the cloud providers do to your data and with your life and your identity if you actually have probably read this Terms of Services, but you're still here and not stuck behind a display reading Terms of Services if you would, so eh. It's so easy on the cloud. But it has some disadvantages. One of the things, if you go to the cloud, especially if you use an email like Gmail, Hotmail, and stuff like that, you will, as we all know, give governments basically the whole address to even the stuff you use on a cloud. We have seen lately or been aware how this all works, but this is the main problem I see in using lots of free services. There are other problems, like the private provider might modify the service itself. The provider might change the terms of conditions of a service. The provider might cancel a service or go out of business. They will modify, or they might modify your data. They might steal your intellectual data. And also the big problem, the provider might get hacked. We have always seen lately that you really should see who do you trust with your private data. Government has access. For the most, as you know, this started somewhere in 2001. But for the most years, the law and maybe more important, the interpretation of the law has changed recently. Like 5 years ago, it basically meant surveillance that the US government or and the associated countries, the Five Eyes, have access to your data. Today, it basically means that every country that is not in a battle with those countries, so is communicating with them, has access to this data. I'm very sure if Oki, for example, decides to use a German provider for something, it will be no problem for the Dutch police anyway to get any access over there. And it's not only the police in your home country. It's police of a lot of different countries. It's a wide variety of people who are associated with the police itself. So in some countries, the police is rather a smaller restricted group, but it usually means that every people or a lot of people in the whole legal system also have access to your data, not only the police. Might depend on your country. Mileage might vary, as some people say. An important thing is that the times where the law enforcement needed warrants to access this data is basically also over since the last 5 years. I can surely say that for Germany, where the law itself changed, for other countries, mostly the interpretation of the law changes. But if you look over like legal statistics over there, you will see that much more data is taken today, because in Germany, it is the term you need to use is like, we're in a hurry, then you basically don't need a warrant. It is statistically pretty interesting that in Germany, after the amount of stuff where they actually really need a warrant after judgment of the Bundesverfassungsgericht, which then only said, only if you're really in a hurry, you're allowed to do so. So a lot of cases switched over from, oh, this is just business, so, oh, this is really we are in a hurry case. So the amount of cases where the flag, like, we're in a hurry, was set increased largely. So, besides the government, there are other problems if you put your data in the cloud. At the point where I wrote the slides, one big issue was that Google changed the interface and the behavior of emails. At that point, you found a lot of email from your friends in the spam folder. They auto-sorted the mailing list and that stuff that made really the whole interface unusable for a lot of people for a while. Today, most of you will say you get used to the new interfaces. You get used to looking in the spam folder and find your friends' email addresses if you don't train the filter and stuff like that. But a large modification of a service in general might be a problem if you put your data in a cloud or in whatever online service you might want to use. A lot of services had especially the problem when the head of the company changed the focus of the company itself. So from becoming a mail provider, we want to go more into search engines or stuff like that. Usually then the user interface interface changes, and you will have problems running your stuff, yeah, like you did before. Also, a point is that happened lately, that a lot of services have been given out for free or were for free. And mostly with changes in the terms of conditions, you now have to pay something to use it in the same way you used them before. Providers might cancel their service. The providers you use might just cancel their service because it's not of their business interest anymore. Or they might just go out of business because they were not profitable. This has happened a lot of times, and I give some examples, like the Google has discontinued the product of the reader, the Wave, Google Health. GeoCities kind of closed after getting bought by Yahoo. Mega Upload, I would consider that's a cloud service if you read it, but we can consider it closed at the moment, I guess. Dodgeball, Microsoft Dune is an interesting case there, because people who haven't possibly paid attention to the email they used to sign up for Microsoft Dune, and a lot of people use basically throwaway emails or free emails they don't pay a lot of attention to, where all this business spam is going to. You might know what I mean. And if you don't pay attention to that account, you might have not got the point that you now are allowed to export all of your data to MP3 to keep it, because we'll shut down the DRM system. Who hasn't read that and hasn't followed up that found himself at a point where all his music he bought over Microsoft Dune basically disappeared. iWeb for websites there is an example, and Archive Team also had issues that was brought up. Another point, the provider might modify your data. That might not be too obvious in the beginning, but it actually happens if the provider thinks your data copyright problems. this became pretty present to me because I was among a group that was doing a video. It's called Vorratsdatenspeicherung. It was like a graphics video about the new upcoming data retention law in Germany. And we had only Creative Commons music as background. We spoke everything by ourselves. We had the several problem that the video was several times removed due to violation of music. And we got it always back online. And some point, Google just removed the audio track. Because the algorithm said we are using commercial music, which we didn't. At some point, we got even through to the Google support. And some person somewhere might have set a flag that, well, no, this is all okay. Don't remove it anymore. This seems to be exist because since then we don't have a problem. But for our campaign, it was actually a problem that in a video where you try to explain a political problem, the audio track gets removed, makes the whole video kind of pointless. Things that for... Yeah. Yeah. We will not poll the whole censorship does happen because the whole process really looked like an algorithm was saying we're using copyrighted music, not like we're actively censoring it, but yeah. A thing that might be strange to Europeans is if you have fuck verbally or written in your content and that might get translated to other legal zones, like you know that this happens, it might restrict or remove your video too. And another good example for this, from what I think, is the privacy settings of Facebook. A lot of people of you most likely have had, if so, data on Facebook and protected them by using the privacy settings. There had been several cases where the settings had been modified that your data was now public to everybody. Another address you could point you could bring up is the Facebook email address you had there. The provider was modifying the data of your email address. You maybe remember at some point at Facebook there was the email address you entered, and then Google decided to we'd also like to do email, so they changed your email visible there to the Facebook address. You can't even switch off that email. You can just hide it. Provider might steal your data. This is especially a case of read your terms of services. A lot of provider reserve the right to use the data you upload for their own business model. The Bitly and TinyUrl websites, for example, use it to do statistics over there and sell those statistics. Instagram is a point. They reserved the right. You might all remember the case when Instagram changed the terms of service and said, okay, all your pictures are now ours. That was like a media disaster for them. Yeah, but I think it's a good point for that where like providers of that thing try to steal your intellectual property. I think it was a more capable corporate communication team that I might actually have gone away with that. But thanks, good. It turned out to be a shitstorm over Instagram, and so they changed it again. But yeah, this might become a problem. Providers might abuse your data. Again, case for the terms of conditions. Pretty often they just tell you in the terms of conditions that they will do that. If they put up something in the terms of condition, I think you can say that most of the stuff they write there, they will actually want to do or reserve the right for the future to do so. Things like, we will use your data to X, Y, that, do not show up there by mistake. Usually this is when they tell you, this issue showed up in our terms of condition by mistake. I wouldn't really believe that. Cases in there worth noticing from my point of view is that, for example, Microsoft Skype prefetches links. And if you send somebody a link in Microsoft Skype, especially with the username password combination in front of, like with the percent and the at sign, it prefetches those links. You will see it on Facebook, for example, that this data got prefetched. And there had been also a lot of cases where the where you give companies access to your email, usually through OAuth, for example, LinkedIn or other social networks. They use this data and combine this data with other people's data to connect those things. Yeah. And I think LinkedIn has sent a mail from your email account. This would I would also consider abuse of your data, and this can the username and password combination. If you ask the companies, and if a case of this like gets brought up, all this is usually done to improve service quality and like the security. But I think we all know how to take that. One of the biggest risks that might show up if you expose your data to a service provider, you will know that those service providers, due to the large amount of data, they're a target for hackers. The chances that your provider will get hacked, therefore, on this case point of view, like the risk view, more likely than yourself got hacked, because it's just your data in there. And if you want to publish, or like the Anons did, they published large sets of data which got freed, as they say. That makes like those companies more of a target. Sony, I think it's the most famous example, that had a website that's did Sony get hacked this week.com, and that was on green for yes, it did get hacked. For I think over 6 months. If you gave your credit data, all your private data to Sony, you might have found out lately that this has not been the wisest idea. Other cases of there are like GoDaddy got hacked, Dropbox got hacked, AT&T got hacked, like not really hacked, but well. Valve, Blizzard lost the data of all their users, Living Social, RockYou, and I think we could just make a talk of the length of the talk of just naming all the examples we can bring up with companies who got hacked and their data got lost. A point there is, what about the interests of the providers and you? We talked a bit about this in the terms of condition already, but you should ask yourself the questions if your interests and your provider interests are really aligned. Because providers are really mostly or only interested in profit. In some countries, that's even given by the law. They have to be orientated by profit. That you will see that keeping your data safe for the providers is therefore mostly a business case of how much would it cost, that like how much users would we lose, how much money would we have to spend in case we use the data. So the question is, it needs to be profitable for the provider to protect your data. Very often it is, but at some point it might not be profitable anymore, especially if you got a provider that is going for like the free or cheap approach. They don't have a lot of money to invest there to secure your data when they still want to make profit. Security sometimes is just plain expensive. And you will see at that point that there actually is a service provider that interests is always aligns with your own interest, and well, that's yourself. That is the idea of this talk, to run your own infrastructure, to become your own service provider. Because on the other side, if you go to a cloud provider, and you know all this phrase, if it's free, you're the product. If you run your provider by yourself, you can choose what that is. Side note to be put here, because there are some famous examples who did run their own fucking infrastructure and still got owned. Government and hackers can always get access with enough resources. You can make a system very, very, very secure, but you always have to also see that there are patches to be applied. So if you run your stuff, you will learn a lot of stuff about updating it too. Especially people who have no time at all sometimes run into some problems here if they set up something and use it for like 5 years and then there is the Debian update. For the government and for hackers, it's pretty trivial to collect your data down from social networks or from others. Cloud services where even presenting the data might be even be a case that you put your data there. Hacking in your stuff and in your notebook and your servers is way more rare. And it's more expensive because it's basically an individual attack and it's not like a standardized attack. If you put all your data into Google Mail, the access for law enforcement is just an interface of a program. If they want to get you access to your own server, even if they get access to your passwords, that's way more work for them. So it's more costly. This will get into kind of a race. And I think it's pretty much possible to raise the bar enough that surveilling you is really, really, really costly for law enforcement and that. If you will be head of Al-Qaeda, I might agree that even things like disk encryption might not save your life. That's true. But for the most of us, encrypting your stuff, protecting your stuff, running your own data, running your own email server will make it way easier, way more expensive for them and way easier for you to run the stuff. Okay. I did the slides not a very long time ago when I submitted the talk. I did most of the slides. Since then, one thing happened, or at least one person showed up and said, what do you know, that was Snowden. So I think, to come to an end for the all argumentation stuff, we can just put up this slide and summarize everything we have had before in just this logo. Because with this, it's all got proven and documented and everything, that all the stuff that before people said this might happen, this is a danger of, actually do happen. And that actually those companies do comply with the government and do give their data. That is, I think, for the most of us who were aware that this is technically a problem and could happen, really does happen on a large scale. So the problem is pretty big. Prism, when we call it, that was not the first project, but it was the first project that has become that visible and got that large amount of media attention. There were other projects like that, and if you got interested in the case, and if you stick around leak sites and Cryptome and stuff, you will have seen that there were other projects, like the Trailblazer project, the Turbulence project, Red Hook, Carnivore, Echelon, and there are hundreds of those projects. Just go into Cryptome and read down the first 3 or 4 or 5 pages, you will find a lot of that stuff is actually documented. So Prism, that even made it out to mass media, we have seen this on the camp. Like, I'm helping with communications, and 90% of every press that came into the camp was mainly interested in the whistleblowing issues, which is actually an issue in mass media. This topic, unlike Carnwask, unlike Echelon, unlike all the other projects that have been before, actually did make it to the mass media, and people in politics and media now all have to express how outraged they are. It's not really that this is just a very new thing that comes, and most of the roots of those projects go back to 2001, where in the US, the major change in the view on security occurred. So, you like those services, right? And I'm telling you to stop using it. So there is actually an alternative of doing that. Most of the people here will claim that they actually are hackers. Well, not all of them. Yeah, you know, I know. At least I think we can safely say there are a lot of hackers around you, not only here, but at home in your hacker spaces, at home at where you got your friends and stuff. So what I'm saying is maybe not everybody should run a mail server. Maybe some people who come around here and do graphics and stuff on this conference and do political stuff in the whole process needed at the moment, not every one of them really should possibly run a mail server. But usually in those areas, there are hacker spaces, and you have some capable people there that can do that. And I think at least the hacker spaces should run their own mail servers, their own calendar services. And a lot of the stuff we brought up like 15 slides before. And I think you will agree that you might say that you do not trust all of the people in your hackerspace, which I think is true for most hackerspaces. But I think you might agree that you trust most of them more, like your government. So maybe it's actually an increase if you go to your hackerspace, they run your mail servers and stuff. And yep, it's way easier to get documentation of how the mail server actually works when it's in your hackerspace than you need to ask a question to the support line of Google. Those of you who have been around will know that like 10 years ago, for example, I'm from the CCC, the CCC internal mailing list, trying to get on the CCC internal mailing list with the T-Online AOL that time's email was just slightly impossible. You only get got subscribed to that if somebody really wants that people laugh about you. Today that has changed. Today even on very confidential mailing lists, you will find Google mail accounts. Today it's mainly Google. And I think we should come back to the old idea that if you want to get on the confidential mailing list, you should actually run your own stuff or have trustworthy people run your stuff. Things that you should consider running or could consider running and make a hackerspace a little more hacker style and stuff is like mail server, address books, mailing list, blog software. So one of the reasons I think why a lot of people use the blog use Facebook and Twitter a lot lately is that you reach a lot of people. But with the APIs, those social network support, you can easily make your content on your own homepage and then export it there. So you still reach the people, give an abstract of the thing you're posting in your blog on the social media, and combine all of the social media feedbacks onto your homepage. With an API, you can import back, for example, Facebook commands from Facebook, the likes, reshares, all the stuff from Twitter, and Google Plus does give you your data back over API. And by the way, API is a nice thing to play around. But yeah, besides blogs, you can run your project software. RedMime is a good point there. Social network Diaspora is a thing that worked pretty amazingly, then just everybody stopped using it and went back to Facebook. They had some real great improvements that I think that really worth working. Another thing that I think is important because of face recognition software is the photo galleries. Yes, software. Git, whatever you use as version control softwares. So to run all this, you want to run your own servers. You maybe want to run your network. VPN is a point. Some of them know I gave a talk about CaseVPN. There are other systems to do that, but you might want to be able to get out of hairy internet environments, home to safe internet and real internet like you have it at home. VPN is a good point there. Pots. In Hamburg, we have the Chaos Phone, plain old telephone service. Asterisk allows you to run your own phone system, even mobile, if you connect to your Asterisk server then. If you have your own servers, you can run virtualization software like Xen or cloud services even, like OwnCloud or what was the other called? What I use. There are lots of different software solutions for all these problems you can find. OwnCloud has becoming pretty popular lately for a lot of stuff that comes from the Amazon site. You can use basically your OwnCloud server as it was the Amazon server. So yeah, lots of things. Running all of your stuff like to make it important for everybody that his he or trustworthy people run his stuff will require, as said, a change in the culture. And this is a change back. If you run your own infrastructure, you will basically solve a lot or most of the issues we are talking about or we were talking about here. If you continue to use the services of the cloud services, just you need to deal with the terms and service and accept the risk. But you should be aware of what you're doing. It's, I think, pretty fine to use things like Twitter or Facebook to promote content you want to give out to other people. But you should rethink maybe how you use it, and you will do when you run your own stuff. Trying to set up your stuff and trying to be more harder to surveillance usually also leads to the point that you will modify your behavior on some smaller points and be judge more which is public, which is private. I, for example, put more stuff on my blog than I put allow them to forward on Twitter after that. And a lot of this thinking about this comes with the new possibilities you have if you run to your own stuff. You just have wider possibilities, and if you install of them, you will get used to them and possibly use them after that. So I'm coming to an end. It's rather short. I would really like to express a thank you for the US government for making my talk that easy. When I submitted my talk, I actually had to discuss if this is even a talk worth giving. And then the Snowden guy published some of the stuff, and everyone was like, yes, we want this talk. This is an important issue. It has been in the discussion lately. I hope it changed a lot of behaviors. And actually, by the way, there are also good examples to do so. The Noisebridge hackerspace in San Francisco, of one of the newer hackerspaces, actually do run most of their stuff. So I think it's a good example that you actually can do it. And people who run it, the administrators, need to be thanked from time to time. So I'd like to thank my administrators, because I also have some people running stuff for me, some friends. I don't run everything by myself, but a lot of stuff. I would like to thank my administrators and possibly you, if you use one of those services from your hackerspace and stuff like that, you should thank your administrators from time to time too. And also, I'd like to thank the people in my village that helped, edit, modified, and deleted, very important, content of this talk. This is in the Milliways village over there. If you want to, you can come later on today evening at the party day to the Milliways village. We do free beer there, and we have some awesome things to pick up if you want to, how we finance our beer, which are our challenge coins. And French fries. Yes, we did tons of French fries. So thank you for attending this kind of confusing talk. Most of the things have been bluntly obvious lately anyway. So go out, and if you're doing a hackerspace, encourage people to run the stuff. Do run more of your stuff by yourself. And thank you.
So, are there any questions? Yeah, see one over here, one over there.
I would strongly like to see people get away from GitHub. It's so fucking easy to actually put a Git repository behind an HTTP server. Please do that. Stop feeding the beast. That is, like, every time it's done, now any development grinds to halt because people can't even, like, look at their bug list. So like, move away from that shit, please.
Yes, I'd like to agree on that, and I would like to point out that availability and the point that you can actually use your service might become an issue when you run your own service too. This is why I haven't pointed it out in the slides. Providers have reliability issues, but seriously, on the long run, my experience is some people also have some reliability issues sometimes.
Sorry. We'll take questions here with the microphone so everybody can hear what you're saying.
I just want to say, like, when you are running your own services, I mean, sometimes, like, the cloud services, they they kind of don't do some things you want them to do. So if you're running your own service and you're actually quite good at coding, for instance, you can have the service you want, right? You don't have to, have the web app that does what the other person thought you needed. You can have the web app that does exactly what it is you need it to do. I think that's an extra point about running your own infrastructure, you know, that it's not really a question so much as a what do you think of that?
I'm not really sure if I really understood that, honestly.
Shall I put it louder? It was about that you, if I get it right.
I need to say English is not my native language. My knowledge of the English language is limited way more than compared to people who's Scandinavian Dutch or actual native English speakers.
So the remark was that it's not even good that you run your own software. It's also good that you can modify it and make it really the way you want it. Correct?
Yes. Okay. Open source, for those of you who are software developers, you can actually, with open source and stuff you run by yourself, you can actually try to improve your stuff. I would really like to encourage you to do so and make it therefore easier for other people to run their own stuff too.
Just please think about what you're doing. Running your own infrastructure may be a good cause, but it's no excuse for running a public open relay server because you didn't understand how to configure your SMTP daemon.
Yep.
Hi. So this is great and everything, but once you want to host the servers, you actually eventually need some sort of VPSs out there or some sort of hosting, which again raises trust issues. What are your thoughts on that?
I think in most cases I do trust the companies, in my case, the hackerspace, it's a company associated to the hackerspace. Like, people from our hackerspace work there. It's not always that easy, but I would do trust those companies more than I trust an anonymous mass mailer, because like the interface for that is already there. One of the great differences between running your mail and your password get public and running your mail on Gmail is that the interface and the already done structure they have to access all this data is for them very important. It's way easier for them to search your emails via Google than to build up an individual system to download the mails from that person, to search over that, index for that, on that. Or did I misunderstood your question?
Hey, McFly, thank you so much for giving the talk. So I just wanted to add one thing which actually goes into your points very well, and that's that one of the problems with trust in services like Google and in particular Instagram and things like that, not only do they change the terms of service at random, but often they will suspend your account and demand government-issued ID in order to reinstate it. This happened with Instagram shortly after Facebook acquired them. They changed their terms of service and suspended a whole bunch of people's account. And when they were, the other thing about that is when they were requesting government-issued ID, they weren't even using SSL for their form where you could upload it. And I know that Europe has laws about this. However, a lot of these are American-based companies, and American doesn't necessarily respect European laws so much. So if people are interested in privacy to the extent of release of their own personal data, this is something really to consider, I think. So I wanted to add that point.
I think you had issues with your Google. That you had your nickname but not your real name at Google, and they suspended your account for not using the real name. Terms of service issue.
We'll take next question here.
I noticed your slides are in PDF. What software did you use to create them?
Oh, sorry. Yes. I need to say that this slides were done on a, as you have seen in maybe one of the other pictures, was actually done on a cloud service. So I think I would like to see from you developers in here is actually an open source cloud solution to build all your presentations on there online. Not like any Google document services.
I would like to say I am not a coder, but I think about doing my own services for a couple of years now, and I to explain people that it's really important. But most of it, to me, sounds to be Legoable. So you have some known input forms and known output. At that point, you can say, let's build a lot of alternative versions to make these services and to make sure that this can work. And if you don't like this solution, you only have to stay at this input and output. And from there on, you can make tests like a VPN testing thing that just tries to break out of the VPN and tells you when it succeeds. So it knows you're vulnerable and you update that from different sources. So you need modularity in the building blocks so that people know what to build, not just I want to.
If you set up your stuff in a hackerspace, usually with a group of people, and you come to the idea of actually changing that, you already changed the culture of the people, because it will lead to a group of people who, after setting all that stuff, think about all that stuff all the time and try to improve that. That might slow down that process or even stop in your hackerspace at some point. But actually just encouraging your hackerspace and getting a group in your hackerspace as an administrator group, those such things will change all the stuff in there. And you will start with the mail server you'll set up, and you might end up with a collection of software for people in your hackerspace that, for example, as you change, as you say, try to break out of a VPN to test if all the environment out there still works. Yeah. We have lots of Nagios stuffs in our space to, well, I have lots of Nagios stuff I do to check various things if everything's still all right.
Yeah,
it's Nagios stuff, and let's talk about that later.
Take one more question in the middle.
I would love to move away from Gmail, from Google, but I am afraid that suddenly nobody can reach me anymore. So can we force mail providers to forward our mail to if we want to move?
In most providers, you can. Well, you can make them forward your stuff. And change in email is not something that will happen like on day one. And in day two, everybody in this world will use your own email. But things you can use for that is like automatic replies, which you can, I think, add at Google that say, thank you for writing me an email. I've moved my email. I'm now reachable at email XYZ. And I think on Google, you can also configure forwarding to other email addresses.
Okay, one more question here. One question here, then.
So from the Snowden papers, it seems like one of the most valuable pieces of information the government is collecting is graph data. And I'm quite worried about that, because it could be used to find the leaders of movements, or even people who don't appear to be leaders. But if they were removed, it would put the movement into disarray. There was some math paper about this. So I wonder, what is the path forward? Because it can't really be an individual decision to conceal social graph information because your friends are submitting it about you. I even found somebody's phone number in my Android context that really should not be there, and it's been uploaded to Google already by me. So it's easy to do even by accident by someone who actually is running his own infrastructure. And if we each make our own choice to run our own infrastructure, I think it's hopeless. They'll always get enough graph to do what they need.
If you, most of the stuff, especially in communication or for instant messages, which is now done over Apple software, Google Talk and stuff, can be done on your Jabber server, for example, then you hide this graph. You will possibly not come to the point where all of your graph data is completely hidden, but you make it more complicated to reach the same amount of graph data you had before when using a cloud service. Best example from me is Jabber CCCDE, where when you use your Google account, Google does know, or therefore the government does know, who your contacts are and who you're talking to if you use Jabber server from the CCC, while the CCC does know. And I personally do trust the CCC in their way more than I trust, for example, Google, especially after all the Prism disclosures that have been made lately.
Okay, one more question here in the front.
Why do you still use Google Docs for this? Why not just use Tech and Git hooks?
I don't think that Tech and Git is usable to actually build slides. Other people might disagree on that. but I need to say on the side note, this actually did save my ass here in this thing because I can't use my laptop anymore. So doing it on a cloud was good, and I got an own cloud, which I could have stored that stuff in, but it turned out to be pretty good that not completely up-to-date version of the slides were actually on the Google Docs, because my notebook hard drive is now not here.
Regarding your own personal mail, what is your opinion of on using a shared hosting mail account?
A shared hosting mail account? Like a virtual server and run your mail server there, or
no,
a hackerspace or something like
no,
that?
Like the cheap services you get to run websites, and you get an IMAP mailbox. And
usually, if you read the terms of conditions, like you really read the terms of conditions, you don't want to do that anymore. There might be some examples that you actually can use, but from what I know, if you go to a company, all the problems we spoke about on all the slides do arise. It's the question if the interest of the companies is really your interest, and especially if a law enforcement officer showing up with a piece of paper, if that might change that your interest is still the same as the company's interest.
I also want to add another reason why you should run your own infrastructure, and it's stability. For example, now if some invader decides he wants to block, I think it was Egypt, Pakistan, sorry. Whenever they decide to block YouTube, then it also affects us here. Or if somewhere a commercial internet exchange breaks down, it affects everyone. So you can't, the stability of the internet is also influenced. And if you have your own local infrastructure, it is more probable that you can read it still in case of failure of somebody somewhere else around the world.
Bring up the stability and reliability issues, because if you run your own stuff in hackerspace environment for more than 5 years, you will find out that they also have their own kind of stability and reliability issues. I prefer them way more above a service that's run in the cloud, because if a mail server is run by somebody in our hackerspace and that's not working anymore, I can actually go there and slap him, which is hard to do with the Google mail servers. So that's why I prefer to do this in hackerspace. Okay.
Cool. I think that were most of the questions.
Yes. Thank you still again for sitting in here for that long. And have a nice time on the camp. And I really hope you enjoy the tech camp. And come over to Miliwaza and support us by getting some of the challenge coins.
Oh, thank you.